All right, take your Bibles, please, and open to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 2. I want you to listen very carefully this morning to the message, and if you would just kind of block out everything that's going on outside and what you got to do after a while, and block out dinner, lunch if you can. I hope I can. I'm starving to death right now. But I want to speak to you this morning from the 15th verse of Hebrews chapter 2. Let's go back and read 14, and then we'll read the text verse. Verse 14 says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same." Now that is basically just saying that the Lord Jesus took on a body, that he became flesh. He became one of us. And it says that through death, he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them, that's us, the them is us, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Now, using that little phrase there where he talks about the fear of death, I want to speak to you this morning. And I'm going to entitle my sermon this morning, "Delivered from the Fear of Death." So please give me your attention this morning, and I'm sure that there's something here that will help all of us today. You know, I've been here for 15 years now, and we've had a lot of funerals in 15 years. There are many, many people sitting in our church this morning. Our early service was a full house this morning, and there were a lot of folks in that service, but then there's a lot of folks in this service. And you are now sitting where someone used to sit with you. And the older we get, and you know, it's true, we're getting older. Yeah, we are. We're getting older. And so as we grow, as we age, death becomes something that is a reality that is facing us, and we start to think about it a little more often. And so I want to speak to you this morning from this verse and give comfort to those who have loved ones that are with the Lord now, but also to encourage us to not fear death. You know, I really don't think a child of God should fear death. Now, folks have asked me all the time, say, "Pastor, are you ready to die?" And the answer to that is, well, spiritually speaking, yes. Physically speaking, no. Spiritually speaking, I'm ready. I know Christ as my Savior, and should something happen to me and I should die, I do not fear that a bit. I'm going right straight to be with the Lord. That's promised in the Word of God, and I'll show you that this morning. But I'm not quite ready to check out yet. I got a lot I want to do. I got a lot I want to enjoy, and a lot that needs to be done yet for the Lord. And so I'm not ready. Now, if the big crowd's going, I'm all for it. Amen. Yes, sir. If that trumpet sounds, I don't want to stay here another second. No, sir. I want to go with the big crowd when the big crowd goes. But when it comes to death, there are some anxieties in people's hearts. There are some fear. And so I want to deal with that this morning and trust it'll be a blessing to you. So let's pray together and end the message. Our Father, we're grateful that we have a Bible and that Bible has the answers. And so, Father, bless us this morning as we look at the Word of God and look at a subject that is not pleasant to deal with, but nonetheless, it's a reality. And it's something that all of us face. And so, Lord, we need to know how to deal with death. And so I pray that you will bless. Lord, help me this morning as I speak. Help me to say what I need to say. Lord, I would pray that you would help me say what you would say if you were here this morning. Lord, I certainly know that I'm a sinner, saved by grace, but I'm a sinner. And Lord, I do not yet have my glorified body, so I cannot say everything that I need to say this morning unless you guide me. So help me, Lord. I pray that you will just minister the Word of God to our hearts today. And Lord, may we be encouraged in the things of God. And Lord, there's so much in this world to bring discouragement to our souls. But Lord, the people of God can rejoice. And so I pray that you will help us today. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. I have chosen a text this morning that actually caught my attention the middle part towards the end of week before last. And it's been kind of just stewing on the pot for a little while. And but I want to share it with you today. The Lord has shown me a couple of things as I've studied His Word, and I want to share those thoughts with you this morning. I suppose that the fear of death is something that most everyone comes face to face with somewhere along life's road. Now, granted, when you're young, when you're a child, when you're a teenager, when you are in your 20s and 30s and maybe even into your 40s, you don't think very much about it. You just, it'll flash into your mind once in a while that you're not going to live forever. Then, of course, we all have those pleasant thoughts of the trumpet sounding and being raptured to heaven. But somewhere along the road, all of us think about death. And I want to speak to you on that subject. I think that there are probably two feelings which the thought of death kindles in every person. The first is a feeling of curiosity. Now, I say that because it's almost like there is a veil hanging between us and death. And since none of us have been able to go beyond the veil or to even raise the veil and look look over onto the other side, it brings a curiosity that is, I suppose, just natural. We all have an interest in lifting the veil and looking to see what's on the other side, but we cannot do that. The only thing we know about what happens after death is what is revealed to us in the Bible. The Lord Jesus spoke of a great gulf fixed between those that were in heaven and those that were in hell. And He said that they which are in one cannot pass over into the other. And it seems that is the case with life and what is beyond life. The truth is, all we know about what is beyond death is what is revealed to us in the Bible. Now, of course, the devil, he's just being the devil. That's what he is. But the devil has offered man all of these magical arts which pretend to look beyond the grave. And frauds and charlatans have made multiplied fortunes charging people for their fraudulent services. But the truth of the matter is, we cannot see beyond the now and now. But it is man's curiosity that permits this kind of thing to go on. It's our curiosity that allows such things as fortune tellers and all that to happen. It is this veil that hangs over our eyes and that separates us from eternity that causes man to be anxious to look through it. I was reading recently, a couple of weeks ago now, in preparation for some of the things that I want to give you on Wednesday nights concerning the King James Bible, as 400th anniversary of the Bible in 2011. And I was reading where one author was writing about the text and how the Bible was hated by England and by the rulers of England and by France. And the author was talking about how thousands and thousands of people would come to the center of town whenever there was going to be an execution. Whenever someone was going to be burned at the stake because of their faith in Christ, or whenever in France they set the guillotine up and Christians were taken to the center of town and executed for their faith, that this author said that he was amazed that thousands of people would gather. He said you would think that it would get old and that people would lose their interest, but they didn't. As time went on and as the executions increased, that only increased the curiosity, and more people came. And this author said that it was his opinion that it was not just savagery that brought out the masses, but that it was curiosity. There's something about death, and death forever has forever stirred curiosity in the human heart. There's a second emotion that I need to call to your attention, though, and that's the emotion that I want to speak on this morning, and that is that death creates in us or stirs in us a second feeling, a second emotion, and that emotion is fear. This emotion is not just shared by people. This emotion is had by everything living on the planet. Wherever there is life, in any form, there is an instinct that recoils from death. Now, that doesn't mean that the fear of death is always active and is always present and is always pressing us. The truth is, when we are enjoying good health, when we're in the prime of life, and everything is going well, we rarely think about it at all. I mean, when we're young and when we're busy with our family and with our career and we're active and we're doing the things that we enjoy doing in life, we have a way of forgetting about our mortality. But this is a good thing. I mean, be thankful for that. For if all we could think about was the fear of death, then life would be very complicated by the time you got to be a teenager. I mean, you can imagine if the fear of death was on your mind from a child on, life would even be more difficult than it is now. But as we are all finding out, things are not always going to be well with us. We are eventually going to grow old. We are eventually going to be diseased. We are eventually going to get weak and frail. Are you discouraged yet? Well, that's life. I mean, it's just the way things go. And one of these days, our mortality is going to hit us like a sledgehammer. And you and I have all seen death come creeping in on a loved one. And we have even seen some of our loved ones welcome death as it approaches because they are tired and weary with the struggle. But regardless of how it approaches us, we are all guarded by the terror God has hung around the grave. There's just something about death that brings fear to our hearts. Work may be hard, but death is harder still. Duty may be stern, but death is sterner still. Dark and gloomy may be the future for many, but it is not as dark and gloomy as the grave. Now, how has Christ liberated us from this bondage? How has Christ? My text here says that Christ came and died on the cross and was buried and was resurrected, and that because he did, our fear of death is gone. Now, how's he delivered us from this bondage? Well, my text tells me that Christ has delivered us from death. I want to deal with that this morning. I'll give you three avenues that we're going to walk down in order to for me to make the point. First of all, I want you to think with me. Our fear of death is really just a fear of dying. Our fear of death is really just a fear of dying. When you think about it, it is not the fact of death that terrorizes us, but it is all that we associate with death that terrifies us. Perhaps we have witnessed someone we love go through the deathbed experience, and it was so agonizing that its memory will never leave our mind. And therefore, we have a fear. It is not what death leads to or removes, but rather it is the unknown aspect of death that we fear. And I don't have to prove or to try to prove that to anyone here. We know the fear of the unknown is perhaps one of our greatest fears. We all know that we are going to one day die unless the Lord comes and raptures us out. I mean, we've had that experience. We've had that history. Every person, except for two, just two, and none of us knew either of the two. But every person that has ever been born on this planet has lived their lives and then they've died. So we know that death is coming our way. We know from history that it is coming our way. But it's the unknown aspect that gives us fear. It must be the thing that we fear is dying and not necessarily death. Now, because while there are deathbed experiences that are horrible, there are others which are peaceful and actually bring comfort to everyone. We've all, on this platform, having been in the ministry, we've all seen deathbed situations where there was great distress and great agony and great fear in dying. But we've also seen more where where death was a welcome relief, where it was received with open arms. But let's be honest about it, folks. The truth is, none of us want to go right now. I know I don't. None of us want to go right now. It is a fear of dying that most people possess. We want to keep going. It is innate. It is built into us to want to keep going. I mean, we want to keep doing and we want to keep being as long as we possibly can. But think for a minute of the comforts given to us from the Lord about this matter. Folks, my Bible here says that Christ came to deliver us from the fear of death. He came to deliver us from the fear of death. Now, how does he do that? I want you to think for just a moment of a couple of things that our Lord said. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus said one day these words, "And be not anxious for tomorrow." And be not anxious for tomorrow. What did he mean by that? Dreading the pain and the suffering that we might one day have to endure, Christ says, don't worry about tomorrow. For sufficient unto the day is its own evil. You know, the Lord, listen carefully to this, the Lord doesn't want us to have a bad day today because of tomorrow's evil. God does not want us to have a bad day today because we might die on Thursday. I mean, you know, the Lord never taught us to pray, and Lord, give us a glimpse of our death day and help us to think about it every day until it happens. Instead, he taught us to pray and give us this day our daily bread. You see, the whole thinking, the whole line of thinking is, hey, don't think today about the day when you're going to die. Think today about living. The whole idea is live your life. Live for God. Serve the Lord. Enjoy God's blessing and enjoy God's provision. Don't sit around and bemoan life because the day is coming when you're going to die. No, I think there's a valuable lesson there, folks. The lesson is that if we have grace to live, given to us day by day, give us this day our daily bread. And the lesson is, if we have grace to live, given to us day by day, then we will have grace to die when it's our time to die. We'll get what is needed for the day. And this is why I think he could say to the disciples in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I think this is why the Lord could say, my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in thy weakness. But now, there's a second thought that I want you to consider. I said, first of all, that the fear of death is really just a fear of dying. Secondly, our fear of death comes from the thought that death is the end of everything. I remember when we were kids, we used to go to my mom's family to visit. They lived in Terre Haute, Indiana. We only saw them once a year. We would go out there one summer, and then they would come to West Virginia and visit us one summer. And I remember they lived way off the road, big long driveway. And we would all go out and load the car up, get ready to leave. And my dad would always turn the car around so that it was facing out. And we would load everything in the car, and they would all come out, and we'd all hug and cry and promise to call and promise to write, you know, all those lies you tell. And then they would come around, hug all the kids, and they always rubbed me on the head and said, now you be good. I don't know why they said that to me, but they always reminded me to be good. And then we would get in the car and we'd start out the driveway, and we would all turn around and we'd all be waving, and they'd all be standing at the end of the driveway, and tears were streaming down everybody's cheeks. We would wave goodbye. But you know, there is no farewell as heart-wrenching as the farewell of death. And we have all been in that situation. We know that to be true. We have all had that horrible day when we stood with the weight of the world pressing against our hearts. And while the lid on, one lid was closed on a coffin, another lid was opened on our hearts. And we have all grown too familiar with this, and we've all had to face it. We spend our lives with someone. We love them. We build a life together. And then comes death and takes that all away and says to us that they will never be ours again. And we will begin a lonely life of thinking on that until fear grips our hearts. This room this morning is littered with folks who are dealing with that right now. Folks, we've all lost somebody. A mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, a child, an aunt or an uncle, grandparents. We've all lost someone. But it is this part of death that has been destroyed by the Lord Jesus. For the Bible tells us that he has died and was buried and is risen again, and that he is the first fruits of them that sleep. Which means, dear friend, which means if the grave was not an end for him, it will not be for us. What did the Apostle Paul say to us? He said that to be absent in the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, a lot of folks have stumbled at that verse. It is not complicated. It is really a simple verse. To be absent in the body. What does that mean? That means, dear friend, that your soul is eternal. Your soul has the breath of God upon it, and it's eternal. The soul is the real you. It is who you are. It is your mind. It is your will. It is your emotions. It is who you are. Your body is just the house of the soul. Your soul is the real you. Now, your body has the curse of sin upon it. That's why it grows old. That's why it gets diseased. That's why your eyes go bad. That's why your teeth go bad. That's why your hearing goes bad. Your body has the curse of sin upon it. Your soul had the curse of sin upon it before you were saved. Your soul was dead. You were dead in trespasses and sin. But because of Christ and you exercising faith in Jesus, God has quickened, made alive your eternal soul. Now, what is death? It is the separation of the body from the soul. The body finally wears out and it dies. And when the body dies, we do with it what we've always done. We take the body and put it back in the ground. We return the body back to the ground from whence it was made. But wait a minute. The soul is eternal. What happens to the soul? That's what he's talking about here. To be absent in the body, comma, and to be present with the Lord. The minute that your body says, I'm done, your soul says, I'm not, and it goes to be with the Lord. No holding area. No purgatory. Hey, folks, Jesus is your purgatory. He purged your sins. You don't need to take your sins over to some priest and have him sprinkle water on you and forgive you. No, Jesus is your purgatory. You don't need to pay to get somebody out of purgatory. There is no purgatory. Where do you find that in the Word of God? You don't. Jesus is our purgatory. Amen. Now the world, who does not know the God of grace, would have us believe that death is the end of everything. Satan would have us think that it's the end, so he can torment us after we are left alone. That's why, listen, folks, the devil knows that if he can come and make you think that, wow, that, you know, death, that's it, it's over. No, no, no. Christ and the Bible assures us that death is not the end. Listen, folks, these lives that we're living right now, this life is but the prelude to the rest of a wonderful book. Life is not the addendum. Life is not the final chapter. Life is only the prelude to eternity. Oh, we may be separated now for a time, but one day, as with Christ, face to face, we will see our mom, our dad, our beloved child, our precious spouse. What a grand reunion day that's going to be when we see Christ. When we're finally home. And Christ has delivered us from the fear of bondage. That was the thing that got me through when my mother passed away. I knew I'd see her again. There's no doubt about it. And you know, that verse of Scripture, I can't wait to get to heaven and find out what it means. I really can't. I've studied it. I've fought on it. I've read everything I can find on it. And I'm telling you, I just don't have peace that I understand it yet. But one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. What does that mean? Does that mean there's no such thing as time in heaven? I don't know what it means. It may mean that our loved ones are up there in heaven, and it only seems like just like that before we're there. Oh, we're struggling down here, though, aren't we? Yeah, all of us are. But folks, we've got a promise here, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Folks, the point I guess I want you to make is don't you let the devil put you in bondage when it comes to this matter of death. You know in whom you have believed. You know the Lord as your Savior. You realize that you're born again and you're on your way to heaven. You make your calling and election sure. And when you do, death is not going to be something that the devil can use to hold you in bondage. Number three, much of our fear of death stems from the fear of judgment. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? Well, I've witnessed to too many people through the years who have told me that they fear standing before God. Isn't it good to know that if you know Christ is your Savior, you don't need to fear standing before God? I sat beside a fellow from Atlanta to Baltimore Friday evening from Stuttgart, Germany. And we started to converse, and in the conversation, I asked him if he went to church anywhere, and he gave me a look like I had two heads. You know. And I was a little puzzled by that, and I said, do you go to church anywhere? No. I said, well, what do you got against church? Well, I don't believe in God. I said, serious? Like that. I said, serious? He said, oh, no. He said, I don't believe in God. And I said, well, when did you come to that conclusion? I don't know. I guess I've just always felt that way. And I said, well, you know, that's strange. I said, I've been preaching for 34 years, and I have a little theory about that. He said, you do? I said, yeah. You want to hear it? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, here's my theory. I said, I don't think there's any such thing as a true atheist. I think if you're an atheist, it's because somebody has monkeyed with your head. Man, his eyes got big as saucers. I said, so who messed with your head? Was it a professor in college? No. I said, was it a high school teacher? No. And I smiled and I said, well, then it was your dad. It was your parents. Man, you'd have thought I hit him with a 2x4. And he just froze. And come to find out, his dad was one of these self-proclaimed atheists. And his daddy taught him that there is no God. And I said, sir, let me tell you something. I said, there is a God. I know there is. I spoke with him this morning. I read his word a while ago. And I tried to witness to him. It was like talking to that microphone right there. And it ended up, I gave him the little Are You Sure tract. And when I handed him that tract, I said, sir, you need to read this because one of these days, you're going to have to stand before God and you're going to have to explain to him why you didn't believe in him. Oh, man, you should have seen his face. The fear of judgment. And I handed him that gospel tract. I made him reach out and take it. I didn't put it over into his hand. I held it out and made him reach over and take it. And he did. He took it and he opened it up and he stuck it in his pocket. You see, back in the mind of everybody is that little fear that maybe I am going to have to stand in front of God one of these days. You know, I really think with all my heart, I think that's the primary purpose for man's conscience. I really do. I think that's why God put a conscience in every one of us. I've told you and told you and told you that I don't believe there's any such thing as a true atheist because man has a conscience, and that conscience is a God, a built-in God awareness. It's built in. And the very thought of a just God demands that man must be judged by God. Every voice from the beginning of time has sounded the fear of one day being judged. Every civilization, every religion, every creed has seen the need and recognized the fairness of man having to be judged because he's such a sinner. Even the Lord Jesus never wavered in proclaiming that judgment by God Almighty was coming. Even Jesus said that judgment was coming. So well may you and I fear death if it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. But I think every person who has lived on this planet and who is living now has sometime or another paused and mused and had some little tinge of fear in his heart that one day they're going to have to stand before the living God and give account of their lives and what they've done with Christ. If a man thinks that and dwells upon that, sure enough, I think it will cause him to fear death. But now here's where the Lord Jesus appears. Don't forget my text verse. Jesus came and died. Why? To deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, the Lord Jesus comes riding in to drive these fears away. For you know what he said? He said, he that believeth hath, that's present tense, hath everlasting life. You see, it is true that we must all face God. But when you come to Christ, you are acquitted here and now. All you will face God, make no mistake about that. You will face God, but you will not face him as a guilty sinner, but as a forgiven son and a member of the family. For you see, all your sins have been washed away. They've been removed as far as the east is from the west. He did not say from north to south. If I left here and started north, I could cross over the North Pole and then I'll be going south. And then I will eventually cross the South Pole and I'll be going north. But if I start here and go west, I just keep going west no matter how many times I go around the earth. There's never a time when I'll be going east again. That's why he said separated as far as the east is from the west. Not north to south. You can measure that, but you cannot measure east to west. That's where my sins are gone. He said they're cast into the depths of the sea. You ever watch any of those evolution channels and where they go down underneath the ocean and all that? Oh, man, that's fascinating to me. I could sit and watch that stuff for hours. Just all those creatures down there. All those things, the depths. I mean, some of the depths in the Atlantic, 5.5 miles deep. Wow. Can you imagine the pressure down there? And dark. Oh, it's amazing. That's where my sins are. I don't want to go down there. That's why it's so dark. That's where our sins are. Separated. You say, wow, that's, I never thought of it that way. Think of it that way, folks. Because if you know Christ is your Savior, when you leave here in death, you go into the presence of God, but not to be judged as a sinner. You go before God, welcomed into the family. Jesus said that the angels rejoice when one of us comes through the gate. Not judgment. Because of the judgment of Calvary's cross, I don't have to worry about the judgment of my sins personally upon me. You say, oh, well, if you sin, oh, baloney. Aren't we past that? Let me ask you something. How many of you had children? Were they perfect? Huh? Wow, all the hands went down this like that. No, they weren't perfect, were they? How many times did you say, don't do that. Don't do that. Then they turned right around and did it. Now, when they disobeyed, when they sinned against you, did you disown them? Did you take them? All right, that's it, young man. open the door, throw them out on the front porch, and say, you're on your own now. No, you didn't do that. You may have wanted to a time or two, but you didn't do that. Brethren, neither does God do us that way. What'd you do when your child misbehaved? What'd you do when they disobeyed? You scolded, you spanked, you disciplined, you chastised, you taught, you trained. And God does the same thing with us. God reaches in there and says, all right, pulls that spiritual paddle out, grabs you by the nape of the neck and wears you out real good. A spiritual spanking. Yeah, we've all had those. But he doesn't disown you. Brethren, God tells us that for every man who puts their trust in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I don't know about you, but I like those words. And that, dear friends, that faith is what I need to live by, and it's what I need to die by. It's what I need to live by, and it's what I need to die by. That is the faith that makes me more than a conqueror over the ugliest sin and over the record of my past. And that is what why the Holy Spirit could say in through Paul in 1 Corinthians 15, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory in Christ. Do you know the Savior today? Do you know the Savior today? For you see, knowing the Savior is what takes away the fear of death. May God bless this to our hearts.